Let us turn again to the passage of God's Word we read, and the verse that we were trying to consider this morning, Acts 27 and at verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And what we have is particularly Paul's reaction to the events of these weeks when he was crossing the Mediterranean Sea towards Italy, and in particular where he could walk from to Rome itself. And what perhaps should come across to us more than anything else is the trust that Paul had in the Lord God of heaven and earth. You see, Paul's trust in God. He says, "I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Whatever God says, that is the truth. Whatever God says, we can receive it, and we are to receive it as the truth, what we can rely on absolutely. And that's the way we were trying to follow it out, thinking first of all as Paul, as a man who had been saved and who was acting accordingly, and in the second place, which we didn't reach, a man that we might say was a contented man, trusting in the Lord in connection with everything, in the providence that there was in relation to himself, and the providence that there was in relation to the church of God. And Paul's mind was absolutely bound up with the cause of Christ. His heart was in it. And it would be good for us if our heart was in the cause of Christ, the church of God, always. Yes, always. But let us go back for a little while to Paul as a man that had been saved in relation to this, that he believed whatever God had said. He took it to be truth. Of course, he was right in doing that. That's what we all should be doing. Whatever the Lord has said, whatever may be particularly laid on our minds, we should take that as truth. We should know that we may rely on it, that we may rely on it absolutely. You see, what a mercy it is that God has spoken. God has spoken. And we have the truth. That's a great blessing. How many parts of the world do not have the truth? People are not in contact with the truth. They haven't a Bible at home. They don't know where to go to get one. And that's no doubt true in many parts of this country. A great proportion of them anyway, and so many rejecting the truth for some other religion or for no religion at all. And people seem today to be glad to profess that they have no religion, to profess that they do not believe in God, not just in a negative way, but in a positive way. Well, we have Paul, and he is speaking about, and he believes this, that he is a sinner. He believes this, that God has made known how there is deliverance from sin, and that it is a faithful saying. You see, it is something that is altogether reliable to have it made known and to be able to read about it in the Bible, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he is resting on that. He is resting on that. What a good thing it would be if each of us would be resting on that truth, resting our souls upon it, not only for this world, but for eternity. And you see, we might just add that Paul was resting himself on Christ because he was believing what has been revealed about eternity, about heaven and about hell, how to escape from hell. I mean, escape from the prospect of hell and to get safely into heaven when this world was over as far as he was concerned. Now, we mentioned about Paul believing that there is justification for sinners, that sinners can be accepted by God on the grounds of what Christ has done. And we might go on to quote him from the third chapter in his epistle to Titus when he said, being justified by God's grace, by his grace, that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's yet a good hope of eternal life, of having endless life in heaven above, as one that was justified, as one that was accepted. On the grounds of what Christ did. You see, in speaking about these things, we must come back again and again to the work of Christ. It is because Christ suffered and died. It's because Christ worked out deliverance from sinners, for sinners. And it's not just forgiveness. It's that they would be accepted of God as if they had never sinned and as if they had kept the whole law perfectly. They did not do that themselves, but Christ acted as their substitute. And we might think of Christ now, and Paul was thinking in that way. We might think in that way in terms of Christ as a surety. He came into this world to be the surety for sinners, to act on their behalf, so that they might have a safe entrance at last into heaven above, as well as to be giving them blessings on the basis of what he has done throughout his time in this world. And you can see Paul in heaven now. You can think of him in heaven now. And you can think of him, his mind working in this way, that he says, Christ died for me. Christ did all that was necessary for me. And he might go on to this implication. All will be well for me. I am safe now that I am in heaven. I will be safe at the judgment seat. I will be safe forever and ever and ever. I have eternal life on account of what Christ has done for me. He is my surety still. It would be possible to think of someone being saved for the rest of their time in this world and then being abandoned. But that's not it. It's this. It's eternal life. It's eternal blessedness. It's blessedness that will never end. They will be saved who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who trust in him, who receive as truth, permanent truth, unchanging truth, what the Bible really reveals with what Christ has done for sinners. And what they will have, the blessedness that they will have on account of the saving work of Christ. Yes, and he is himself in heaven. He is everywhere according to his divine nature. He is in heaven according to his human nature. And he is acting on behalf of all his people and according to the assurance that they are in the kingdom of God, so they may be sure of being saved. They, as individuals, being saved forever. You see, they are receiving the truth of God's word. It is true. It is permanently true. It's unchangeably true. Yes. And we are to be seeking in the first place, we might say, that we would have that belief in the doctrines of Scripture, and going further than that, to look to Christ as the Savior that God has appointed, to look to him, to believe in him, to trust in him. Yes. And so again, we may stress the continuing work of Christ. It's very close to what I was just saying, but to look at it in the light of the verse in Hebrews 7, that Christ is able to save to the uttermost all who come into God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. Now, there's this first of all here. There's the intercession of Christ. I made a reference to that already today. But, you see, it's there in so many words that Christ is making not occasional, not regular, but continual intercession for those who have believed. And Paul was writing that for the encouragement of believers. He is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to save completely. Is there a little bit, as we might put it, a little bit of the salvation that a sinner needs? Is there some little part of the salvation that we need that Christ does not do? Well, how serious that defect would be if there was such a defect, but there isn't. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. Yes, his work in this world is finished. He has provided redemption for sinners. And there are those who are believing in Christ in terms of that salvation. Yes. But is there some little bit that is missing? No. Absolutely not. He saves to the uttermost. You can find no little bit that is missing from the work of Christ. It is a complete salvation. Yes. And what it may be that you have been seeking for in prayer for many a long day, and it doesn't seem, your petition doesn't seem to be answered. If that is the case, come back to this. He is able to save to the uttermost. Yes. There are petitions that will not be answered, like Paul's petition to have the thorn in the flesh removed. It was removed on the day of his death, of course. And he was brought to experience the completion of the work of grace. But you see, whatever there is that we feel has to be done yet, and there's much of that, that will take place. By the time the sinner reaches eternal glory, all that needs to be done will be done. Christ ever lives to make intercession. You see, there's the work of Christ in his sufferings and death, but there's this, presenting the merits of his finished work before the Father, and that goes on, and it will go on until the work is finished. Yes. He is the surety. He is undertaking in the covenant of grace. He is undertaking that every sinner will have all their needs fulfilled by the time they are brought to eternal glory. Yes. Do they need to have sin finally subdued? Do they need to be made perfectly holy? Yes. And until that happens, the door of heaven will be closed against them. But they will be made perfectly blessed, because they will be made perfectly holy. And they will be made perfectly holy because of the continuing work of Christ in making intercession for them. That's it. The whole work of salvation is guaranteed forever. And it just crosses my mind that when you buy something in this world, you may be given a guarantee for 2 years or 5 years or whatever it might be. Here is a guarantee forever. It's no mere human work that's being set before us here. It's an eternal guarantee. It's an eternal guarantee that the work of Christ will be eternally effective. Yes. Christ's intercession. It's eternal. The eternal presentation of the merits of his work in Christ, in this world. It's going to be eternally effective. And you see, we are thinking of Paul. He's at the background. He's in the background, at least. Whatever we are trying to say about him, he's in the background. And he's in the background in this respect, or these respects, that he is believing the truths that were revealed to himself, and believing the truths that other writers had put down in scripture, that all to be received as truth. While he was in this world, that was the way that Paul was brought to receive them. To receive them as truth. True forever and ever. And you see, Paul knew that he could not go wrong when he was resting on the truths of scripture. And the people of God will never go wrong. And they are revealing themselves when they realize that they will not go wrong as they lay hold of what is said in scripture. You see, it's one way of how God's children can recognize themselves as his children. God's children recognizing themselves as his children. Yes. From their relying on what God has said, I believe God. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told. It was a supernatural revelation that Paul had there, that they would all get safely on to Rome. But you see, what I am referring to is the revelation God has already made in Scripture. That revelation, that's what's accessible to us. They shall never perish, you see. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There's a revelation that is true, that is relevant for all the people of God throughout all generations. It's relevant to us today. Yes, it's relevant to us that there is a safe journey ahead of the people of God. Now, one obviously has to be somewhat careful. If God's people are in any way left to themselves, and there might be a history of declension behind that, then they might slip, they might fall. But you see, we can say this at least, that God will bring them back. If they are truly God's children, he will bring them back. And they are to be making use of the means of grace to that end, that they would be kept on their way towards glory. Yes. And we might just say, in the words of Psalm 34, which we sung at the end of the last service, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. They will not be left to themselves. They will not be lost, but they will be brought at last to the blessedness of heaven. But let us look at in Paul, secondly, in the light of what he was saying to the men that were with him. Be of good cheer, for I believe God. Be of good cheer. And if somebody who is unwell, seriously unwell, gets a diagnosis which has positive elements in it, then they might say to themselves, be of good cheer. You've heard good news. And therefore, look positively on towards the future. Look positively. Well, in this case, the men, the shipmen, were to look positively on their situation. They weren't going to be drowned. They weren't going to be lost. They would get safely to shore. Might be on broken pieces of the ship, but they will get safely to the shore. And so it is with the people of God. They will get safely to the shore of heaven. Whatever difficulties there might be, they might get soaked. They would get soaked to the skin. They might get very cold between the ship and the shore. But still, their lives would be spared. They are not to be afraid. They were not to be afraid. They were not to look negatively or over negatively on their situation. They must look positively. God has spoken. And therefore, they must be of good cheer. They must look positively at the prospect before them. And so it is with the people of God. Various things may seem very negative, but they are to be looking positively at their position. Supposing they are told that they would die in the next day, they are to look positively at that. It may be natural for us to look negatively at death, and that's natural. And there's something about human nature that cannot look positively at death. Death is unnatural. But you see, the people of God are to look beyond that. And they are to say, it will be better in heaven. It will be better. You see, they are to look positively to the future. We must die. We cannot stay in this world forever. And we should be preparing for it. We should be casting ourselves on what God has done for sinners. And if they are doubting, if they are insecure as far as getting to heaven is concerned, well, let them go again to Christ. Let them go as if it was for the first time to Christ. Let them hear the call over again and seek grace to cast themselves on the one who calls. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And of course, we can take that rest as resting in Christ in this world. But just now, let us think of that rest that remains for the people of God. Let us think of that rest that there will be firmer, more constant, eternal in heaven. The rest that remains for the people of God. But let us be seeking a sure hope through grace for the sake of Christ. You see, Paul is saying, I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God. He knew that. He was assured of it. Well, let us be saying, let us seek grace to say, I believe God. And the Bible says, they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. They shall never perish. The people of God will never perish. No one, not the devil himself, can pluck them out of God's hand. Yes. And he has said, you see, speaking through Paul, my God shall supply all your need. How wide that is, how large that is, how high that is. My God shall supply all your need. And if Paul didn't get his petition answered directly when he was asking for a removal of the thorn in the flesh, then he got a promise. It was the truth that was being revealed to him when he was told that God's grace was made perfect in weakness. Paul's weakness, because of this thorn in his flesh, whatever that was, in particular terms, it's a very general statement. And if people are unable to lean upon that for themselves, they are to be encouraged to do so because of how general the statement was. My grace is sufficient for you. Whatever the time of need is, the Lord is saying, my grace is sufficient for you. If I do not act in particular ways, he implies, I will make it up in another way. Because God will supply. Paul's God, the God that Paul had long experience of, he will supply all your need. And it wasn't just for his own benefit that that was revealed, but it was revealed for the sake of all God's children. Oh, what a blessedness it is to be one of God's children. How earnest we should be about the salvation of our souls, of having a place in God's family, being adopted, unworthy though one is, but being adopted into God's family. How blessed that is. How good that is to be in God's family. The perfect father, the best of fathers in this world are imperfect. But there's one who speaks of himself as the father of his children. And he is perfect as a father, caring for his children, supplying all their needs. The fathers in this world cannot guarantee that they will supply all the needs of their children. They may act foolishly at times, but you see, here is one who can supply all the needs of his children. Yes. They will lack nothing that will be good for them. And you see, this aspect of the goodness of God as a father, that he knows what is best for his children in a way that we do not. No father in this world can profess or shouldn't profess to be supplying the needs of his children in what is absolutely the best way. That cannot happen in this imperfect world. But you see, God supplies all the needs of his children in the best way. And that may include justice, man. That may include not giving what his children ask for. And that happens in this world, of course, with a father and mother acting in the best interest, as they understand, of their children. But you see, the Lord acting in the best interest of his children. And he knows these interests. Yes, he knows what is best. He's not leaving them to themselves. And he will at last bring them into a better world. You see, Paul, looking around, and he was saying, and he was believing it, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. How can I be sufficient, we might ask, if we are God's children? How can I be sufficient for the day ahead with all its problems, perhaps foreseen problems? How can I be sufficient for these things? Or how can I be sufficient to resist temptation all the way to the door of heaven? How can I be sufficient for all these things? What you are thinking of particularly that you are insufficient for, then put that into it. Not that I'm sufficient for this or for that. I'm not. But my sufficiency is from God. How entirely we should be resting ourselves upon God and what he has provided for his children. Yes. And if we can just think in terms of the Lord's Supper and that it is a seal of the covenant of grace and assurance that all the provisions of the covenant of grace is made sure to every one of those who are God's children and at the Lord's Supper. They are being given an assurance that all the provisions of the covenant are theirs, that they have a right to them. And it gives them an encouragement to ask the Lord to apply these encouragements to them in particular, that they might go away with this trust in the Lord, and this trust in Christ Jesus as the one who fulfilled his side of the covenant. Yes, and they are to be thinking in Paul's terms, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, and to take a positive outlook on the future, to take courage for the remaining part of the journey, resting upon the Lord to support them and keep them until they reach the door to eternal glory. You see, that's what's there. That's part of the encouragement that God gives to his children. And Paul was saying, I believe God. I believe God. There's a mark of Paul's grace, that he had this sure dependence upon what God has said. Not his own ideas, but what has God said. Then that's true. It's perfectly true. I can rely on it. I can rely on it always. Yes. Or take this statement from Nahum 1. The Lord is good. The Lord is kind. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth those that trust in him. He is a stronghold. And a stronghold in literal terms is where one can flee in a time of trouble. In the face, perhaps, of an invading army, one can flee to the stronghold. But here is God, and he is a stronghold for those who are in trouble and who trust in him. Now, Paul would have said, had you said that, quoted that verse to him, he would have said, yes, it's true. It's absolutely true. And by God's grace, I'm seeking to rest myself on that promise and any number of other promises. And I can sum it up in this. The Lord is good. Yes. The Lord is good. The Lord is kind. What kindness he shows to his children when they are in trouble. And many stories that are people in great trouble, when their food supply has run out, when they are in danger from some other source, and they make it a matter of prayer, and they're continually seeking God's help, seeking a refuge in God, seeking God's protection, and something wonderful happens in God's providence, and they are delivered. The Lord is good. The Lord was good to them. And you see, that's the Lord's side of the matter. And what is to be our side? It's to be trusting in him. And we can say further that we can put that on God's side also. Because all the trust that in him that there is in this world from the beginning till now is because of God's grace. It's because of God's goodness. Yes, that anyone trust. I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything is from myself. I'm not sufficient of myself. We could transform it in the same scriptural direction. I'm not sufficient as from myself to trust in the Lord in any set of circumstances. In seeking to flee from the wrath to come. In seeking to lay hold on eternal life. I'm not sufficient of myself. I cannot do it by my own power, but it's from God. The grace is from God. The power is from God. It's all from Him, you see. And when you have a Paul a reading or hearing quoted Nahum 1:7, then you see Paul is saying, I know whom I have believed. And he is saying, I believe God that it shall be as he hath told me. And I believe God, and therefore I should have a positive outlook. Whatever happens will be well for me. Whatever happens, this will be true. That all will be for the best. That whatever will happen, it will be for my benefit. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Yes, he's encouraging others to have a positive outlook. And therefore he will be seeking to have a positive outlook himself, laying hold of what he, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was inspired to write in that letter to Rome. He says, my God, no, that's Philippians, my God shall supply all your need, but to say all things work together for good, then that's to be trusted. Even although he wrote it himself, it's to be trusted because he was writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And he looks on as he tells Timothy in his last epistle, he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What day? The day of judgment. And what had he committed to the Lord? It was his soul. Oh, by God's grace, he had met Christ and he had been able to trust himself to Christ in the light of God's word, and therefore he could look on positively. He could trust in Christ, in Christ's promises, in all that Christ had made known to him, either from the Old Testament scriptures or what was written of the New Testament scriptures. He could look forward with good cheer. He could look forward positively and cheerfully to whatever the future would bring, putting first things first, putting the promises of God ahead of his fears. Yes, and that's how it should be. If by God's grace people here have committed their souls to Christ in the light of God's word, in the light of God's sure word, all will be well. But you see, we are to make use of the means of grace. Just as the soldiers were to make use of the means of grace, they must, just as the soldiers were to make use of the means of safety, they were to cut away the ropes that held the little boats. They weren't to trust in that. They were to listen to God through Paul telling them what they were to do, and they all got safe to land. And so it will be that when sinners cast away their little boats, when sinners cast away all hope in getting to heaven by their own efforts, when they look to Christ, when they believe that the word of the truth of the gospel is sure, that it is steadfast, that it is true, they will get saved to land. Whatever difficulties there will be in the way, whatever will concern, whatever doubts they might have about themselves, let them look away from all that. Let them look away from Christ and the sureness of the work that he did for sinners in this world. Let them look away from themselves and all that they might do. And if we can refer again to Paul, what he thought he was doing in his own self-righteousness. He looked away from that. He looked away to the one that he met, who was able to save to the uttermost. Yes, and he was brought safely to shore, to the shore of heaven. And all has been well. We can be sure of that. We can accept the truth of that. All has been well since Paul set foot on the shore of heaven. And so it will be for all the people of God here. So it will be for all the people of God in every generation on into the future. All will be well. But let me leave you with this, which I've quoted already in the morning and not long ago. What Christ is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, we are but poor creatures. Remember us in thine infinite mercy. Turn thou us unto thee, and we shall be turned. Grant to bless us with all spiritual blessings. Remember us in thine infinite mercy, for we are poor and needy. But thy word is sure, the work of Christ is sure, the intercession of Christ is sure, and may we be looking to all that Christ has done, and all that was accepted by the Father. Pardon us and keep us. Be with us now and always. Prepare us for eternity, and prepare us for a communion season. Grant that all will be done by thy grace and through thy blessing, and that there would be great blessing from what will be said, that everyone would get a grasp of the sureness of what is in thy word and what will be quoted, what will be spoken of, that it is all sure that is written in Scripture. Bless us then. Bless what was done in thy name today. Grant that we would be among thy children, like Paul, trusting seriously, earnestly, by thy grace, in what thou hast said, believing that what thou hast spoken is true. Oh, grant that we would get that faith. Lord, remember us. Go before us now and always. Wash away our sin. Make us thankful. Give thy blessing to all who are in need, and be cleansing us inwardly. For Jesus' sake, amen.